4, so much in this psalm to bless our souls. So we're going to look at verses 1 through 19 together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Our title today is This Poor Man Cried. This poor man cried. Lord, I pray now that you would use your word in our hearts. We're so thankful that we have a copy of your word and that we can believe in its power. And pray that now the Holy Spirit would use it, Lord, to teach us, to convict us if needed, to comfort, but most of all, to change us. And Lord, we pray that you'd be glorified and you would guide us in this service. We love you and pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sometimes we feel like David, don't we? David wrote this psalm when he was being chased by Saul all through the caves and the wilderness and the mountains, because Saul was jealous and knew that God had chosen David to be his replacement and sought his life, sent soldiers after him many times. And sometimes we feel this way. We feel like we're running. We feel like we're in the middle of trials that will never end. And that's how David was. And this is what he wrote in the midst of that trial, was this beautiful psalm. And in it we find some beautiful truths. But I want to pull out 4 major things that the Lord has revealed through this psalm that will ensure that we are close to the Lord. Ensure that he's hearing our prayers and that he's blessing us and guiding us in our Christian lives. So 4 things I want to emphasize. The first one is praise. It always begins with praise. Now we want it to begin with requests. We want it to begin with, this is what I want, God. God wants it to begin with praise and worship. God wants us to lift him up first. God wants us to praise him. Notice he says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Is that true of us? Is God's praise continually in our mouth, or do we spend more time complaining and moaning about our circumstances than we do praising the Lord? Because he's certainly worthy of our praise, amen? If you're a born-again Christian, you're going to heaven. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's prepared a mansion for you in heaven. He is worthy of praise. And David said, his praise shall continually, this is in the midst of a very deep trial for David, he writes, the praise of Almighty God will continually be in my mouth. And we need to settle in our souls that I'm going to spend my Christian life praising the Lord. He says in verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. In other words, I'm going to continually boast about how good God is to my soul. And then he says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, when we praise the Lord, it even blesses others, doesn't it? Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Isn't that beautiful? One of the reasons we come together in church is to do that very thing. Exalt the name of the Lord together in song and worship. And David said, one of the things that I'm going to make sure is a constant part of my walk, of my life, is the praise of the Lord. If you go to Hebrews 13, I want you to see this is not just an Old Testament truth, but it is also a New Testament truth for us Christians. Hebrews 13, verse 15. We need to learn to be thankful. We're told, in everything give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But notice here in Hebrews 13:15, talking about us as Christians, he says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Continually. Continually, we are to be offering praise unto the Lord. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Notice how God connects thanksgiving with praise, because they're the same. When we thank God for who he is, when we thank God for what he's done and what he's doing in our lives, we are praising him. And God says that we as Christians need to be doing that continually, which is exactly what David said. He said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And if we're going to be close to the Lord in the midst of whatever comes our way on this earth, one of the things that God wants from us is constant praise, constant thanksgiving for whatever is in our life. Yes, even the trials. Yes, even the temptations. James said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. So the first thing that we see in this beautiful psalm is this constant praise that God wants from us. He wants that to be a natural part of our lives. Get used to the phrase, praise the Lord. Amen? Because we need to be saying it all the time. All glory to God. The second thing we see in this psalm, let's turn back there to verse 4, is if we're going to be close to the Lord, if we're going to be where God wants us in our Christian walk, not only does our life to be filled with praise, but we need to be genuinely seeking the Lord. Notice verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Look down at verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Do you see the theme? God wants us to be constantly seeking him. In this psalm, he uses the word cry quite often. It means to literally cry out to God. We're commanded in the scriptures to be careful or to be anxious for nothing in Philippians 4. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4, 6. In other words, we're to be crying to God about everything. We're to be talking to him. We're to be fellowshipping with him. We're to be seeking him. And David had learned this early in his life, the importance of constantly seeking the Lord. No matter what's happening in our lives, we're to be constantly seeking his face. We're told in 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. There's that word continually again. We're to be continually praising the Lord, and we're to be continually seeking the Lord. Go to Isaiah 55, verse 6, if you would. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. And honestly, many times Christians fall into the rut of only seeking the Lord when things are really bad. But when things are going the way they want them to go, they stop seeking the Lord. And that's not how it's supposed to work. We're to be seeking His face continually, constantly seeking God, constantly seeking to be close to God, to fellowship with God, to talk to God. Isaiah chapter 55, look at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Seek Him. Be constantly seeking the Lord. David said in Psalm 27, Thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Continually praising and continually seeking and crying unto the Lord. Our title this morning is This Poor Man Cried. This is David. He's not the king yet. He's not rich. He's running for his life. He has a few vagabond soldiers with him, but they're hiding out in caves. They're running for their literally from place to place because spies keep telling Saul where he is, and Saul will send soldiers there, and he has to run to another place. And he said, this poor man cried. David saw himself as a poor man. And we need to do the same. We need to realize that without Christ, we are nothing. And we need to be seeking Him continually. Praising Him continually. The third thing, verse 8. Psalm 34. Not only should we be praising Him continually, seeking Him continually, that means spending time with Him, amen, being in our faces before Him continually. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Can you pray while you're at work? Yes. Can you pray while you're driving? Absolutely. I hope you do it all the time. I mean, I know the people that you pass might think there's something wrong with you, and they think you're talking to yourself. That's okay. You're talking to God. Seek Him continually. But look at the third thing, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Trust. Let's be real. Oftentimes, we're really not trusting the Lord. We're trusting ourselves. We're trusting our job. We're trusting our family. We're trusting our savings account. God says we're to be trusting Him with what? Proverbs 3, 5. All thine heart. Blessed is a man that trusteth in Him. And the man that trusts in the Lord can taste, verse 8, and see that God is good all the time. Oftentimes we get in the midst of trials and we forget God's still good. Amen? I might be going through a deep trial, but God makes no mistakes. God has a purpose for this trial, and God is still good. But the devil's whispering in our ears saying, you know, God really isn't very good. Otherwise, He wouldn't let you go through this pain. Think about that. And to question the goodness of God angers Him more than just about anything when you look at the life of Israel. They were constantly questioning God's goodness when they found themselves in trials. And God was constantly having to punish them. Look down at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Well, there's a promise you can sink your teeth into. If you're one of God's children, you're going to have many afflictions. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. We're going to have many afflictions. Afflictions are good for us. So God says we're going to have a lot of them. But He also promises that He'll deliver us out of them if we will trust Him. In the middle of Job's trial, which is probably one of the worst trials man has had to face outside of Christ, he said in Job 13, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. I'm not going to stop trusting God. I've lost my family. I've lost my living. I've lost my health. I'm not going to stop trusting the Lord. And it's when we stop trusting that we're no longer close to the Lord and we start questioning and doubting God's goodness. We must commit our way into the Lord and trust Him. Go to Psalm 125 and verse 1. We'll look at a couple of scriptures on this. But this is very important for believers, that we learn to trust God in everything. And simultaneously, that means we are believing and not doubting His goodness. How often do we quote Romans 8:28 to others? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We need to be quoting it to ourselves, amen, not to others. Psalm 125, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Well, that's a beautiful promise, isn't it? They that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion. Mount Zion, representative of God's throne, representative of Jerusalem. He says that'll never go away. You'll be like that if you, what, trust the Lord. Look at another one, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Beautiful verse. Someone kindly made a beautiful print of this so that we could put it on our wall. Good memory verse. Look what it says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Because he trusteth. Isaiah 26, 3. God promises he'll keep us in perfect peace because our mind is stayed on him. Why? Because we're trusting him. And David had learned early in his life, I need to be praising the Lord continually. I need to be seeking his face continually. And I need to trust him all the time. No matter where I find myself, what situation I find myself in, I need to be trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord, not myself. Not man, not my job, God. So three things, praise Him continually, seek Him continually, and trust Him continually. Amen. Let's look at the fourth one in verse 9. O fear the Lord, O ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. There in verse 14. David says, let me teach you a little mini lesson here about fearing God. Fearing the Lord means to revere Him. It means to respect Him. It means to put Him first. We're told in Psalm 33, let all the earth fear the Lord. We're all to fear the Lord. But God wants us to serve in the fear of the Lord, which means that we are, what, respecting, revering, holding Him up. Yes, but He's saying that another aspect of fearing the Lord is to hate evil. Verse 14, depart from evil. We're told in Proverbs chapter 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But you know what another aspect of the fearing the Lord is? Obedience. Obedience. Depart from evil and what? Do good. Two little words, easy to slide right over them. Do good. David says, let me teach you about the fear of the Lord. Watch your tongue, because your tongue will get you into trouble more than anything. Depart from evil. In other words, stay away from sin as much as possible. And do good. Obey. We get to the New Testament. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience and fearing the Lord are really the same thing. Yes, there are many aspects of fearing the Lord that involve our worship, our service, involve our contentment, our needs getting supplied, and all these other things. But David's broken it down for us and made it very basic. Watch your tongue, depart from evil, and do good. Obey God's commandments. That's quite a piece of advice in one psalm, isn't it? It's beautiful. David says, let me give you a secret. Let me teach you a lesson. He literally worded it that way, didn't he? He said there in verse 11, I will teach you. Well, he's taught us something. Of course, God inspired this writing through David, one of the greatest writers in the Psalms. And he said, let me teach you some things. Let me teach you how to be closer to God. Let me teach you how to have a stronger relationship with God. Number one, I want you to praise God continually. If you find yourself complaining, you're not praising. Praise Him continually. Number two, I want you to seek God continually. Seek His face all day, every day, all the time. No matter what the circumstances, be constantly talking to, spending time with, and seeking God's face. Number three, I want you to trust Him continually. No matter what you find yourself in, no matter what your situation is, no matter what your day looks like, trust God with all your heart. And then last, fear the Lord. And he says, let me tell you what that means. It means stay away from sin and obey God. Do good. Fear the Lord. Because when you do those things, what you're saying is that God's word is right and God is right. And I'm going to obey what he's told me to do. I'm going to fear the Lord with my actions by obeying his commandments and staying away from sin. He said, this poor man cried in the midst of a deep trial in his own life. He really thought Saul was going to kill him. He didn't know what was going to happen in the future. He hadn't received the promises of God about being the king yet. He knew that Samuel had anointed him, but that's all he knew. And Saul tried to kill him many times with a javelin, with soldiers. And in the midst of all that, he said, this poor man cried. This poor man just stopped and cried unto the Lord. And God wrote through him some of the most beautiful pieces of English writing in the history of mankind, in the Psalms. This poor man cried. We need to praise him continually. We need to seek him continually. We need to trust him continually. And lastly, we need to fear him continually. This poor man cried. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word in this beautiful, beautiful